Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this Sunday is taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, the first chapter, and I'll read the 16th verse specifically here for this message. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Did you hear the word in that one verse, that one word that Paul used? It's the word everyone. Paul just used that wonderful word, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. It's an exhilarating word, really, it is. Because, you know, sometimes I think that we let Satan kind of get in our head a little bit, don't we? And we start thinking a little bit about, well, maybe I'm really not justifiable. Maybe I'm not the person that God really has called me to be. Maybe we feel like we've come from the wrong family. Or maybe the wrong kind of background. I mean, you know, or how about our education? Maybe we didn't really have a good education, or maybe it's the wrong education. Or we speak the wrong language, or we come from the wrong race, or from the wrong culture, or what about the wrong moral track? You know, maybe we have stuff hiding in our closets. But then Paul says, you know, none of that matters. Everyone who believes, everyone. One thing you can rule out with the word everyone is unbelief is the only thing. Unbelief is the only thing, not trusting in Jesus, that can not make you part of that word everyone. You see, the good news is that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that he rose from the dead to open eternal life for you and for me, and that salvation for us is by God's grace through faith, and all of that is for everyone who believes. Not just Jews, not just Gentiles, and no one race or social class, but everyone who believes. So this morning, we probably need to ask the question, don't we, a little bit, about why would Paul say those words, everyone who believes, and then he somehow justifies by saying to the Jew first, and then also to the Gentile. So what is Paul saying to us? What is he trying to tell us here this morning? Well, in my study of Scripture, especially the book of Romans, we find that Paul has said to the Jews first, and he's used six different reasons why he would give somewhat of a priority to the Jews over the Gentiles. And here they are. Here are those six reasons. First and very foremost, the Jews have a priority over the Gentiles because it doesn't matter whether they believe in the Messiah or not, they are still God's chosen people. He has chosen them to be his people. And I know of no time in history since he chose them and Abraham that he's unchosen them. So they are still the chosen people of God. God chooses Abraham and his descendants freely from all the peoples of the world to bless with his covenant and his promises. And this is confirmed for us throughout the Old Testament scriptures, Nehemiah, Deuteronomy, Amos, and a few other places as well. You see, God set his favor on Jewish people and set them apart from all other peoples freely. He wasn't coerced. He didn't have his arm tucked behind his back screaming, "Uncle." He did this by his own free will. He wanted to raise up the Jewish people to be his people. Not because they had any special value in them or that they had a special virtue in them over anybody else, but on the basis of free choice, he chose them. And we are told in Deuteronomy chapter 7, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples, but it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping his oath that he swore to you. A second reason the Jews have a priority over the Gentiles is that they are the guardians of God's word. They were handed the Old Testament scriptures long before anybody else had those scriptures. And they have been made the guardians over those scriptures from the very beginning. God gave his special revelation and his promises to Israel by Moses and the prophets. Paul in Romans chapter 9, verse 4 says, "They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and all the promises." A third reason the Jews have a priority over the Gentiles is that in the fact that the Messiah himself was Jewish. Jesus Christ, our Messiah, our Savior, the one that we worship and we adore, was a Jewish man. He was born in Bethlehem, in Israel, or Palestine in those days. And he is a Jewish man, and so he came first as a Jew to the Jews. And Jesus focused his earthly ministry on the Jews. They had a priority in the work of Jesus. In Matthew 15, Jesus says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So during his earthly life and earthly ministry, Jesus was focused on his people, the Jews. They had a priority in his ministry. A fourth reason the Jews have a priority over the Gentiles is that that salvation is from the Jews. Now think about that for a moment. We worship here at Trinity every Sunday. We come, we hear the Word of God, the preaching, the teaching, we sing these beautiful hymns, and somehow or other, we forget the fact that our own salvation came to us not in any other way except through Jewish people. It came through the Jews. We have our salvation because of the Jewish people. So Jesus says in John 4, and he says this to the Samaritan woman at the well, "You worship what you know. We, the Jews, worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews." Those were the words of Jesus. And then fifth, the Jews have a priority over the Gentiles in a final judgment and a final blessing. In Romans 2, Paul says these words, these amazing words, "There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, the Jew first and also the Gentile, but glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and then the Gentile." In other words, the Jews have a priority in both final judgment as well as in final blessing. If they rejected God, they will be judged first before anybody else. A sixth point of why the Jews have a priority over the Gentiles is that Paul himself, even though we know Paul as a great missionary to the Gentile people, Paul himself always prioritized the Jews wherever he went. An example is in Acts chapter 13, where Paul and Barnabas are preaching in Antioch of Pisidia, and the Jews will not listen to the gospel because everywhere Paul went, he went immediately to the synagogue to share the good news of Jesus Christ as the Messiah with them first. But Paul says this, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to first to you, the Jews, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles." In other words, just as God chose Israel, the Jews, revealed himself to Israel, the Jews, and sent the Messiah and the Savior to Israel and the Jews, so that salvation is from Israel and the Jews, so Israel and the Jews must become a priority in our mission work today. That's not been the case in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod until now. We have finally begun to recognize that one of the greatest unreached peoples in the entire world are people who are Jewish. And until now, the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod hasn't really made that a priority. But a year ago, I was extended a call to serve the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through an organization called the Apple of His Eye Mission Society, the only Jewish ministry within the LCMS, to go to Israel and to begin sharing Yeshua as the Messiah with Jewish people. But I'll come back to that in a minute. But before we start thinking about the fact that the Jewish people have a priority over the Gentiles, I want to also point out to you that there are three ways that the Jews do not have a priority over the Gentiles. And I say these things to you because they will be very important as we finish up the message. First, the Jews do not have a priority in righteousness or merit. However, nor do the Gentiles. You see, Jews and Gentiles were all on the same footing. That is one of the main points of the first three chapters of Romans. Paul concludes in Romans 3, 9 and 10, "What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Gentiles, are under sin, as it is written, 'None is righteous, no, not one.'" And then he makes the same point just a few verses later where we read these words, "For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." A second way the Jews do not have a priority over us as Gentiles is how they are saved. You see, we are all saved in the exact same way. Jews and Gentiles, it doesn't matter. From Romans 10, we read these words, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So neither Jews nor Gentiles have a priority in how they are saved. They are saved by grace through faith in Jesus, the Messiah. And thirdly, the Jews do not have a priority in the participation in God's covenant blessings. You see, the mystery of the gospel that Paul preaches to you and to me, he says, is that Gentiles, you and me, are now full partners, fellow heirs in the blessings of that Jewish salvation. Thanks be to God. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says, "When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Jesus Christ through the gospel." So Jews do not have a priority in participation in the covenants of God, and we are fellow heirs with them. We have been grafted in to this salvation thing so that we might also be with God in heaven. So why then do we think that Paul mentioned this priority of the Jews in Romans 1:16? To the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Well, if you look at the very end of Romans, you can see in Romans chapter 11, there's the foundation of the answer. You see, Paul wanted to make both Jews and Gentiles deeply aware that they depend entirely on him and his mercy, not on themselves or their tradition or their ethnic connections. Paul says to the Jews, "Your salvation is not your own. It is God's, and he gives it to whom he pleases. He can raise up from stones, even Gentile stones, children to Abraham." The words "also to the Greek" or "to the Gentile" in Romans 1:16 would have been as offensive to the Jews as the words "to the Jew first" were to the Gentiles. You see, what Jewish people thought were Jewish prerogatives are, in fact, shared by the lowliest Gentiles who believe. That's you and me. Both of us, in this case, Paul is humbling us. He is making us understand that we Gentiles must humble ourselves to be saved through a Jewish Messiah and a Jewish covenant. Jews must humble themselves to receive unclean Gentiles into a full covenant relationship and membership and share all the blessings of the promise to Abraham. To the Gentiles, Paul says, in essence, salvation is of the Jews. You are not being saved by your Gentile culture or any other culture. You are being saved by a salvation that comes through the people called the Jews. In Romans 11, Paul says, remember, it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. You see, we Gentiles are saved by becoming, as it were, spiritual Jews. This should humble us. And it truly should strip us of any arrogance or boasting in any presumed ethnic superiority that somehow or other we're better than the Jewish people. And the opposite is true, that the Jewish people are better than anybody else. And it should also defeat, in my opinion, any anti-Semitism. And it should fill us with a zeal for evangelism and outreach to the Jews here in the USA and around the world, and now especially in the land of Israel. So as I said earlier, Israel must become a priority and mission outreach today. And God has called that into being as we speak. And I'm privileged that Christy and I can be called to do this. There's never been any LCMS work in the land of Israel, and we are going there to set a foundation for that work that will happen in the future. And the truth of the matter is that, yes, while we have been called into many ministries throughout our time, we were in Liberia, West Africa, positions in Synod as mission executive, mission director, overall the entire missions of the church, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The reality is that when I called Pastor Hafman and asked if I could come here to share this word with you today, I wanted to come because Christy and I wanted to say thank you. Thank you to you. Because it's never. I think that sometimes congregations like Trinity that served in the Vicarage program oftentimes never really get thanked for developing pastors in the way that they do. And Christy and I are who we are because you helped to form us in this congregation 40 years ago. God be praised for that. And we want to say thank you to you. But we also wanted to say to you that in order to do this, in order to be able to serve overseas this day and age in the church, it has to come with partnerships and prayer and support. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod no longer has a bucket of money that can send missionaries overseas. The way it's done is it's done through creation of partnerships. And so, as Pastor said, you have an insert in your worship folder. It is our Pray For Us kind of little bulletin insert. On the front is information about who we are. Some of you know who that is, what we're going to be doing. And on the back is personal information at the top, as well as opportunities that you have if you would choose to support us. We need your prayers. And yes, I'm not afraid to tell you that we need your financial support as well. You formed us. You kind of created the monster that stands before you today. But we are so thankful to you that we could come back and tell you that. God be praised for that. Christy and I, as the first missionaries to Israel, are so blessed to have you and have this congregation in our midst even today. And so, please, bow your heads with me as I close with prayer. Thank you, Lord, for opening up the scriptures to us today and sharing your plan of salvation for Jewish and Gentile people. Thank you that your plan is a plan of grace for everyone who believes. Amen.